Welcome to the Becoming You show with me, your host, Leah Rowling. Do you believe you are capable of choosing your future? Sometimes it takes just one person to believe in you, or you to believe in yourself. If you find yourself continuing to say, someday I will take better care of myself, only to continue living the same day over and over and over again, then you, my friend, are in the right place. I am your biggest cheerleader, inspiring you to become you on purpose and with intention. Are you ready to create a life you love? I'm excited to share with you some big ideas that you can use today to inspire, impact, and influence your life and everyone in it. The Becoming You show starts now. Welcome to the Becoming You show with me, your host, Leah Rowling. That still sounds so crazy to say. How are you? I love being here with you. I love me a Friday. Fridays present such an awesome opportunity to reflect on the week and the upcoming weekend, honoring the progress and learning from the struggles. I hope you can take some time to reflect today on that. Set maybe some intentions for what it is that you need and who it is that needs you on your game, and maybe create some routines and rituals that might help you start next week strong and finish stronger. Speaking of that, I'm excited to talk to you about that, starting strong and finishing stronger. I love this topic because for the most part, we know how to start relatively strong. The mere act of starting creates momentum. We also have natural starts, like the new year, that gives us this added momentum to think newly, think differently, and motivates us naturally. Mondays are also good starts, right? So many of us find ourselves saying, I'll start Monday. Anyone out there? I believe the reason we find ourselves starting over on Mondays, or even in a new year, is because we haven't learned how to finish, let alone finish stronger. But it's possible. I'm going to share with you a few ideas that I believe, if mastered, they're the difference between you finishing stronger or you just giving up, which in all accounts is just failing ahead of time. I'm also going to break down the four stages of consciousness as it relates to our goals and why it is important to understand them to know where you are in them. Most of us are in this second stage and we quit just before three, right? If we could build up just a little bit of incompetence tolerance, stage three is right around the corner. And that is the sweet spot, my friend. And I don't want you to miss it. But before I dive into finishing stronger, I do want to take just a minute with you to show you or teach you or express some ideas on how to start. Because when you know exactly how to start, you'll never have to wait for another Monday or another calendar year again. So in order to start, most of us have to get unstuck, right? Which requires a few skills. The main one that I want to teach today is on self-discipline. Oxford defines self-discipline as the ability to control one's feelings and overcome one's weaknesses. Let me break this down. The ability to control one's feelings. If you listened to my show a couple weeks ago, I shared with you that our feelings are created by our thoughts, right? So in order to control our feelings, we must first start with our thoughts. So friends, we need to get control of our thoughts. You want to start something? We need self-discipline. We want to be more self-disciplined? We need to control our thoughts. The second part of this definition is to overcome our own weaknesses. We need to first understand that our brain doesn't know the difference between what you want and what you don't want. It doesn't know the difference between what you're capable of and what you're not, what is possible and what is not. It only knows what you tell it. Please stop being mean. Please stop highlighting your weaknesses. Please stop minimizing your worth, your potential. Diminishing yourself is the single reason that you don't have what you want in your life. So how are you talking to you? Don't dismiss the question, please. Don't redirect it with the excuses as to why it's okay to be mean to you, because it's not. Not for any reason. Nothing you have done, listen to me, nothing, nor nothing you haven't done is remedied by being mean to you. It does not undo it. It only punishes. And let me save you the next thought. I know this well. You don't need punished. We think punishing ourselves is the way to carry the guilt, to hold on to it so tight so it doesn't happen again. If this worked, I might, and I said I might, be okay with it, but it doesn't. Trust me. Remember, your thoughts end up in your results in some way. Diminishing thoughts create disempowering feelings, which diminishes how it is that we show up, and it destroys our results. I get it. It is seemingly the societal norm to endorse the worst, to echo the faults, to shame the weaknesses. Be better. What are the words that you say about you? What are the thoughts that you silently repeat, seemingly harmless, but nonetheless toxic? If you spoke that way to your child, to your colleagues, to your spouse, to your friends, think about it. How would that affect your relationship with them? If all you did was highlight the inadequacies without ever acknowledging their amazingness, do you think you would have a very good relationship with them? Do you think they would depend on you? Do you think that they would go out of their way to take care of you? Do you think they would give two craps about what you need, your goals, your wishes, your dreams? The answer to that is a big hell no. So please stop blaming yourself for not having the results that you want in your life. They won't happen until you restore your relationship with you. There's so much conversation around what we put in our mouths. But friends, what comes out of it is at least, if not more, toxic. Consider this. You take care of what you love. Take care is in the A line of the model. If you are sabotaging your A line, consider it's because of what you are saying and what you are feeling about yourself. Self-discipline requires self-compassion. And self-compassion is a choice to make peace with where it is that you are. Oxford goes on to sing, its inability to pursue what one thinks is right despite temptations to abandon it. When you know who you are, you know what to do. I'm going to say that again. When you know who you are, you know what to do. So who are you? I'm asking because it seems pretty philosophical, but it's not. It's everything. I used to be whoever anyone wanted me to be, and therefore no one to everyone. including myself. A pretender, a people pleaser. The ultimate people pleasers are the ultimate minimizers of self. And I can say this because I wore this proudly. It seems harsh, but it's nonetheless true. We please in hopes to earn our worth from others. We say yes, we conform, we pretend in hopes others will see and validate what it is that we so desperately want to see in ourselves. Nothing huge happened in my life where I decided that I needed to stop people pleasing, to take back my decisions and to set more boundaries. I think it was just burnout after burnout after burnout. All the overextending and underfilling, questioning all of the people pleasing whilst never really being pleased. I was never pleased because I was not in integrity. People pleasing is pretending you are something that you're not. Lying. Lying to myself and lying to others about who it was that I was. This is the opposite of knowing who you are. And if it's true that when you know who you are, you know what to do, then the opposite is equally as true. When you don't know who you are, you struggle to know what to do. If you don't know who you are, right, it's hard to know what you stand for, what you align with, your values, your integrity, your own knowing. It's hard to make the right decisions, the ones that align with who it is that you want to be. When you lack the discipline required, you are easily distracted. Temptations around every corner, urging you to abandon that with which you want. Why? You don't trust yourself. And I'm going to say this super lovingly, but it's hard to trust people when they lie to you. It is exhausting to doubt yourself, your decisions, your worth. It is not required. In order to live a life that's fulfilling, one that's aligned with integrity, that which makes you feel true to who it is that you are, one that makes you feel alive, you have to know who you are and make peace with exactly where it is that you are. Please stop pretending. You don't have to. You are imperfectly perfect. You are the only you. Think about this. Of the trillion possibilities that could have been, you are. This stops when you decide that the path forward is not in hating and doubting yourself. It stops when you decide that you have two choices, really two. Either you can tear yourself down and therefore tear yourself down and diminish the results in your life, or you can build yourself up and build up your results. You get to choose. When we break self-discipline down, it's knowing who you are and who you want to be and be committed to that being. It is allowing your current self to think about your future self and allowing your future self more wins. It is understanding and knowing that our present self wants what it wants right now. It is the only thing our present self experiences is the right now. We also have our future self. Our future self wishes that our current self would do more things that would give them more wins. Our future self wishes that our current self would take better care of us. Our future self wishes that our current self, right, would care more about our needs, our wishes, and our dreams, right? This is why cultivating a loving relationship with yourself is the most important work that you will ever do, right? If you don't have a good relationship with you, if you don't matter, you are not going to give a damn about your future self. If you don't clean up your present thoughts about you, why would you bother sacrificing your now self for a future possibility? You won't, right? You might be able to give yourself a few wins with your future self by willpower, but that's not sustainable. Willpower, by definition, is doing something that you don't feel like doing. I've seen so many people try to punish themselves into a win, try to hate themselves thin. Friends, it doesn't work. The minute you don't feel like doing it anymore, you'll stop as quickly as you started. Your ability to do can never exceed how you feel in the long run. A lack of self-discipline means that I'm letting my present self win more than my future. In order to become who we want to be, we have to sacrifice our present self in honor of our future self. But either way, we win. I like to think about it like this because so many times we don't start because we think it's going to be hard. It's going to be lots of sacrifice. It's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be joyless. It's going to be disappointing. And we think this because we are only thinking about our present self and what it wants. Think about it. If I lack some self-discipline, my present self wins. If I have some self-discipline, I give the W to my future, or my future self wins. Either way, I have to make a bit of sacrifice. Either way, it's going to be hard. Either way, it's going to be uncomfortable. Either way, it's going to be disappointing. If I choose to eat the cookies, my now self wins. But we're making it harder, more uncomfortable, and disappointing our future self. If I choose not to eat the cookie, then my future self wins. And my current self has to sacrifice and lean into some uncomfortable and disappointing feelings. That's why cultivating a disappointing tolerance, right, is such an awesome skill. So am I going to sacrifice now or later? That's the question. If I'm either going to choose joy, pleasure, and comfort now or later. And that's what we get to do. So in order to get unstuck and develop some self-discipline, we have to ask ourselves a few questions first. We have to ask ourselves, what is it that my future self wants or needs? We have to get clarity. No goals, no growth, right? No clarity, no change. We can't commit to something that we don't know what we're committing to. If you haven't taken some time to set some goals for your future self, this is the work that we're going to be doing in Becoming this month. Becoming is my online coaching group for women. I teach and coach around all the areas of self. We talk about a new topic each month, and I share some ideas and some concepts and frameworks to live into. And if you're interested in setting some goals and learning some new tools and accomplishing them, I'd love to have you in there. We also have to ask, in order to have what my future self wants, who would I have to become? How would I have to think about myself? What would I have to choose to believe about my capabilities? Could I believe in my goal more than my doubt? What would I need to give up? And the last and probably best question there is, am I willing to do that? And it's okay. It's okay if the answer is no. If it's no, then it's possible that you really don't want to. Rather, you're just maybe interested in it. It's possible that you're willing to think about it more than really wanting it, right? You don't need a new year or a Monday to start. You don't need a new year or a Monday to choose you, to choose your future. You just need to decide that you matter. That's some self-compassion. That your future matters, and commit. That's self-discipline. I want to leave you with a question before break. When is finishing harder? I'll answer that when we get back. I'll teach you 4 ideas to finishing stronger, possibly stronger. And again, I think the people that master these 4 ideas make the difference between success and giving up. I'll see you then.
Do you get stuck in that someday attitude, living the same day over and over again with no action? The Becoming You Show, big ideas that inspire, impact, and influence your life with Leah Rowling is for you. Tune in every other Friday at 11 a.m. Central on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This show will have you feeling inspired to take action with purpose and intention. For more information and to get in touch with me, visit www.leahrowling.com.
The vibration of change, that magical place where life shifts from struggle to ease, from stagnation to forward movement, from old ways of being to new ways of becoming. If you're like I am, it can be rather elusive to get there, but when you are in it, you feel it down to your very core, don't you? And it can positively affect everything in your life, from your relationships to your health and well-being, from your career path to your abundance. From the quality of that inner connection to the fullness of your self-expression. On the Christine Upchurch Show, we explore ways to get into that vibration of change with experts in the fields of consciousness, psychology, spirituality, health, healing, and science. Join me, Christine Upchurch, every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on KKNW AM 1150 and Transformation Talk Radio, and learn new ways to step into your vibration of change.
Do you feel like you and your significant other have lost their initial spark? Then let Coach Martez and Widrina guide you to strengthen your love and reignite that spark on the Coach Martez and Widrina Layton Show on Transformation Talk Radio. Understanding love, accepting truth, and changing perspective. For more information, make sure you go to dreambuilderscoaching.net. That is dreambuilderscoaching.net.
If you've ever had a broken heart, you know how painful that can be, and how long it can sometimes take to heal it. I'm Megan Edge, author of The Heart's Journey, Healing Hearts, Oracle Cards, and Guidebook, published with Balboa Press and Hay House. In The Heart's Journey, I share with you my own heartbreak and how I healed it through the beautiful hearts that found me in nature. From taking photographs of these hearts for myself, I've created this beautiful toolkit, which includes the guidebook, which has my story, how to work with oracle cards as a healing tool, and the story of each of these hearts as they cross my path. I've also created a beautiful journal. There's a pen, a bookmark, and of course, the 42 Healing Hearts Oracle Cards. You can order The Heart's Journey, Healing Hearts Oracle Cards, and Guidebook through my website, meganedge.ca, through Balboa Press, Amazon, and many other places online or your local shops. I look forward to hearing about your heart's healing.
Hey, welcome back to the Becoming You Show. If you want to take the ideas and concepts that you are learning on this show to the next level, I would love to invite you to Becoming. I had mentioned it in the previous segment, but it's an online coaching program designed for self-mastery, for becoming more of who it is that we already are. I believe it starts and ends with self, right? And you can find more about that on my website at www.leahrowling.com. So in the last segment, we learned that self-discipline, self-compassion, self-mastery was required, right, to get unstuck and start. And now I'm going to talk a little bit about how to finish. Who's ready? I left you with the question before break. When is finishing harder? Here are some thoughts that I had. Finishing is harder when it's not going as we expected. When you're not seeing results, when it's taking too long, when it's boring, right? When you don't want to, when you lack motivation to keep going, when it's not fun, right? these are the four ideas that I'm hoping to kind of leave you with so that you can keep them top of mind. So when you're in the goal, you can finish and finish stronger. The first one is become your belief. I'm going to break all of these down, but I'll highlight them first. Become your belief. Your belief has to be bigger than your doubt. You have to keep conscious. The hardest part about transformation is not doing the same thing that you did the day before, which means you can't go unconscious and expect a new reality. You can't become unconscious and finish strong. Number three, you got to celebrate the progress. You got to acknowledge the journey. And number four, there is no best fairy. There's no worth award. No one is coming. You've got to meet your own needs, my friend. So how do you become your belief? This is the most important one, and it applies to the goals that you have that are big and scary that you may never have done before. Maybe no one has. Anyone that has ever tried anything for the first time, whether it's starting a new company or running a race or engaging in a new sport or a hobby or trying to lose weight or start a new exercise plan or make a certain amount of money or have a certain number of clients, your belief that it's possible for you is one of the most critical pieces in that progress. If I decide that I want to make 300,000 this year, and if by December I'm at 280, it's easier to believe that I will make it to my goal. But your ability to hit your goal is not about what happened in the past. It's only about how invested you are in that belief and to be willing to fail and still believe it. One of the best skills that you can develop is believing when you have no business believing. For those of you that maybe didn't hit your goal, you are allowed to believe that it is possible to achieve this year. Let yourself keep believing it no matter what. Answer your brain. Isn't it going to be awesome and fun to see how I can get there? What opportunity or person that I'll meet? What method or resources that I will come up with? This is not me just sitting on my hands. It's me meeting the opportunity of the possibility with, you guessed it, work. That's the power of having goals be fun and exciting, because in the end, it doesn't matter. It doesn't. I'm not saying not be committed to them, but don't make them mean a bunch of heavy things. Accomplishing your goal doesn't make you more worthy. Not accomplishing your goal does not make you less worthy. Remember, my friends, your worth is set. So why bother, you might ask? I believe it is for the growth that a goal requires of us, the experiences that the journey of a goal lays out. It doesn't have to mean that we suck if we don't accomplish it, that we're not good enough, that it's not a possibility for us. What if we don't hit our goal? It's okay. Can we love ourselves anyway? You might be thinking, Leah, how is this thinking helping me finish stronger? You're basically giving us a pass for not accomplishing our goal. And that is not what I'm doing. I am giving you permission to be wrong without being wrong. This is what I mean by that. What if I wanted to get to 200 last year, but I only got to 50? Am I going to beat myself up and tell myself how stupid and how incapable I am? No, I'm going to tell myself I was wrong, but not wrong. I was wrong about the timeline and the amount. I wasn't wrong about my potential and my capabilities. I promise you, I've gained some skills, some awareness, some connections that I hadn't had before. What I see too often is that we don't finish because it didn't go as we expected. We didn't get the result we wanted. And instead of becoming our belief as a state of being, we just quit. You become the belief as a state of being, your I am statement. You can choose to believe you can You can also choose to believe you can't. Either way, you're right. You become your belief with a thought like this. My thought, I will accomplish this. Not sure how, not sure when. My success is inevitable if I don't quit. Choose to believe it, even though it seems unbelievable. You become your belief with the feeling that this thought creates. This thought creates confidence. This thought creates empowerment, empowerment to choose, right? Your life on purpose. That thought makes you feel worthy. You have to command the discouragement and the disappointment in the event that you fall short. Falling short is not failing. Quitting is failing. Discouragement and disappointment come from your thoughts. If your thought is, let's just see what happens. Yeah, it might be disappointing. I just had the wrong amount. Yes, it's a little discouraging. I had the wrong time. Things can be disappointing without you being disappointed. Things can be discouraging without you being discouraged. And even if you do choose disappointment and a discouragement, they're just feelings. Nothing to fear, right? There is no downside to believing big, to believing what seems unbelievable, right? I want to give you permission to believe the unbelievable. Do you know you're just allowed to believe it? Just choose to. And don't be mad. There'll be a little doubt. There always is. Just keep the belief a little bit stronger than the doubt, right? Ideally, it's a lot stronger, but don't think you have to get rid of it altogether. Just keep conscious on who you're giving more airtime to. Believe that it is possible to become your belief. Think of your belief like you do Amazon. Believe that Amazon, right, that it's ordered and it will be delivered. We don't know where it's at. We don't know what shipping warehouse it is or whether or not they got the right name on it. We just trust, right? We're not like, oh no, it might not show up on Thursday, right? We're not like, oh no, I don't know if it will show up, right? No, we're like, it's going to show up and we're excited when it shows up and it's going to be great when it shows up, right? And we don't panic and stress and worry about it. What if we thought about our goals like an Amazon order? You know what? My goal has been ordered. Right? I have the desire and the discipline. I have put it out in the universe. And now I just get to be excited and show up and answer the door when it shows up. So let's just do that. It's a decision that we just have to practice. The second thing, thought that I want to talk to you about finishing strong is keeping conscious, right? We have thousands of thoughts, like 60 to 1,000 thoughts a day. 95% of them are unconscious, experiential thoughts of our past, which means that if you are rooting for your future you, right? If you want more wins for your future you, you have to stay conscious. If you don't, past thoughts create past results, period. The hardest part about transformation and change, I said this earlier, is not doing the same thing you did the day before. Finishing strong requires consciousness. It requires an intentionality. When we are not intentional, we revert to programming of the past, programming that is full of doubt, full of stay sane, full of declaring the win for our current self at the expense of our future self. Friends, your brain does not want you to change. It doesn't. It has two jobs: to keep you alive and prove you right. And in case you didn't notice, you're still alive, right? Sameness does not equal not dead. Unfortunately, it doesn't equal growth, right? Fulfillment or aliveness, right? Not dead does not necessarily mean alive. It's a podcast for another day. When we think about finishing strong, we generally think about success versus failure. But it's not that simple. I believe that success requires failing over and over and over again. Success and failure live on the same block, right? And I think it's important, though, to differentiate the two types of failure, right? There's the go big failure, right? That's the I set a goal that I've never done before, maybe one that no one has ever done before. And I showed up and I did everything I could. And I just fell short. I want us to have this type of goal all day long. Set big goals, my friend. Set unrealistic goals. I know so many people would say that it is not smart, right? I do have some smart goals, you know, the ones that say that are realistic, but most of my goals are not smart, right? Some of my goals are crazy. I have no business believing them, but I would much rather set unrealistic goals all day long and fall short than make realistic goals and meet them. Let's say I had a dream to make $350,000 last year. Now, up until then, I only had made $100,000. What might be realistic would be 3 to 5%, according to like historical data on what's possible, right? That would be $104,004%. Okay. And let's just say I decide to think really big, right? Thinking maybe what's not possible, infinite possibility, right? And I land on 350, right? And I meet the opportunity. I bring the success and the belief. And I bring in 275. That's a go big failure, guys. All day long, I would rather make 275 than 104, right? That's more than double, right? When did we start learning to think in reality, right? Why do we want to do what has always been done? Think about that. The second kind of failure is the give up failure, right? This is the kind of failure that I just give up, right? And realize that it's not possible for me. I go unconscious, right? I'm not going to choose to keep conscious, right? I'm not going to think about what I want and who it is that I want to be. I'm just going to allow my brain to be the boss and tell me what's possible. Tell me to play small. Tell me that it's not in the cards for me. That is only available for someone else, right? Tell me, right, that if you quit, that you didn't really fail, right? Keep conscious, my friends. Learn how to be consciously engaged. Decide on purpose. I know for so many of us, when November rolls around, right, we give up, right? We realize that maybe we haven't accomplished our goal, right? Heck, we might have realized that in April, but friends, the goal is always there to choose. It's always the next choice, right? And what I see so many people do is go unconscious, right? Through the holiday, right? Which makes when January comes, it even harder on our future self, right? If you just stay conscious and make that next best choice, right? You give your future self some wins. Right? Right? And if you want to stay on that roller coaster, that's okay. But if you want to get off the roller coaster, it can't be all in or all out mentality, right? Right? So I just want you to work on your relationship around that and kind of be aware of the extremes, right? Even in the new year, I see it so often. People start with a vengeance, right? And sometimes it's from a really good and disciplined place, but all too often it's punishing ourselves, right? For not having done better the year before, right? For not having hit our goals, right? For not having made progress, and it's all progress. And I'll get to that in a bit. Don't punish yourself better. Rather, love yourself more. Just choose to be more conscious and make decisions in advance, right? You get to choose who you want to be and how you show up, right? All right. The third idea that I wanted to talk to you about is finishing strong, right? Acknowledge the wins, celebrating it, celebrating your progress. It's all progress. So often we look back at the journey and we focus on what didn't work, how you didn't accomplish your goal, right? I don't think we have to focus too much on what didn't go as planned, right? Trust me, your brain already knows that. It's already framing your possibilities and the capabilities based on what you didn't do, right? It's got lots of evidence on that. Trust me. I want you to look at it as progress, right? I ask my clients to do an end of the year assessment with regards to the lessons learned and their accomplishments and their experiences that they've created. I love doing this exercise, by the way. I find if we don't, the years just crash together, memories fade and lessons are lost. But many of my clients get stuck in identifying these accomplishments. They couldn't think of any, right? I had, if not dozens, for each of my clients, but our own brains don't want us to see what we do well. It doesn't sometimes see what we do at all. Our accomplished goals are just that, accomplished, as if expected and complete, right? And then let's just move on to something else. Friends, you are not required to do anything. You really aren't. So everything is progress. Yes, even not hitting your goals. If you don't celebrate the win, the goal is actually not even that much fun, right? Because once you achieve it, you just move on to another goal. Right? Remember, we're trying to cultivate a better relationship with ourselves, right? What would you have to do in order to do that? Think about it. If you were looking to be better with your relationship with someone in your life, what would you have to do? Say your kids, your wife, your husband, your sister, right? Well, think about the relationships in your life that are going well. How are you showing up? How do they show up? I'm guessing for starters, you acknowledge their wins. You encourage their journey. You inspire them to do something brave and courageous and creative, right? You influence their character, right? Their development with care and compassion and curiosity. You impact their being by showing up positive and joyous and engaged. I'm guessing they do the same for you. If all we do is expect more and more and more, right? And appreciate less and less and less, our relationships will fail. It's no different than the relationship that we have with ourselves. When we know better, we can do better, right? So many of us have not even thought about what a relationship with ourselves even looks like. How would we inspire ourselves? We would inspire ourselves with a convicted belief that we can do the impossible, even if we have no business believing, even if we haven't accomplished it yet. How would we influence ourselves? Well, with a compassion and a curiosity to honor the struggle and celebrate our progress. How do we impact ourselves? With a conscious choice to be positive, to be joyous, to be engaged. This means that we have to pay attention to ourselves and stop ignoring us. The extent to which you inspire and influence and impact yourself is the extent that you can do that for your life and for the world. It becomes then a societal responsibility for all of us to do work on our relationship with ourselves, right? So many people ask me, how can I be a better mom, a better sister, a better daughter, a better friend? And don't get me wrong, this is super awesome. But never has anyone asked me, how do I be better to me? That's the question. I love Gary Chapman's book, The Five Love Languages. You know, we read that book to get insights on how people can love us better, right? Words of affirmation, acts of service, receiving gifts, quality time, and physical touch. What if we understood how we love to be loved and start loving ourselves that way, right? I want you to be delighted and compassionate with yourself, right? Remember the definition of self-compassion is acceptance of where you are. I promise you there is progress. Everything we do is progress. There's no such thing as going backwards. We never go back because we have experiences and opportunities, right? We say I lost 10 pounds and then I gained it back, right? Or I was doing well and now I'm back to my old habits, but there's no going back, right? We are always going forward. Progress is not the end result. So many people don't celebrate the results, right? They feel bad that they're not further ahead. I mean, be delighted with the results you have got, but don't diminish the progress down to your results. In all honesty, your results are the most boring and least interesting part. The amount of weight you lose or the money you make is the least interesting and the least powerful part. All the other things along the way, the part that we're learning more about who we are growing, are progressing, right? These are the things that we're experiencing, right? Whether you get the result or not, right? What you learn about yourself, who we met, what you found, the people and the connections, right? Awareness of all of this is growth, right? And it's all that the accomplishment just hasn't happened yet. It's always yet when you continue to believe, when you continue to keep conscious and you continue to celebrate the progress, right? I think so many times we just quit shy of the goal. We get frustrated with our progress, how long it's taking. And we make it mean that we're not worthy, that we're not capable. What if instead of assuming the worst in ourselves, we take it as an opportunity to learn, to get better, to skill up? We have to recognize the negative thinking. How do you meet the challenges that question your worth? Do you shut down? Do you quit? Do you speak bad of yourself? We have to see that and understand that. We have to honor ourselves as capable. I honor myself as capable, able. I have worth. I am deserving of improving my life. How you honor the challenges and struggles directly correlates with your life satisfaction, your stress levels, your wealth, and your advancement. The mindset and how you perceive challenge and struggle is this critical linchpin, right? On whether or not you change and whether or not you finish. For me, it helps me to understand where I am with my progress, right? Where in this goal do I have a tendency, right, to butt up against this why bother mentality, right? Where in these stages, right, do I run into the challenge, right, and quit? Or do I meet it and level up and learn, right? So the four stages of consciousness are as follows. The first stage is unconscious incompetence. In this stage, we don't understand or know how to do something, right? Right? In this stage, we don't even know what we don't know, right? Right? We don't even understand how the skill, right, might help support us in the next stage, right? And how long we spend in this stage here is determined by our discipline, our open-mindedness, and our ability to learn, right? That's why we should always be learning, you guys. The second stage is conscious incompetence, right? We now know what we don't know, right? Things get really real in this stage, right? Now we are aware of what we don't know and we realize how hard it might be. We see how far we have to go. We recognize the value of new skills that might be required, right? And if we're willing, right, to make mistakes, to fall short, right, to learn and to keep trying, you will move into stage three. So many people quit in this stage because we make not making it or not being successful, right? Or not making the progress we want mean that we're failing. We're never failing if we don't quit, right? If we just take what we need and learn, we'll get to stage three. In stage three, we are conscious, competent, right? We know now how to do something. We're competent in the skill, but it still requires consciousness and concentration. It still involves the prefrontal cortex, right? I like to think about driving when I think about these stages. My son Logan is getting his license, right? And he has worked through all of these stages. At first, he was in that first stage. He didn't know what he didn't know. He didn't think it was going to be as hard as it was. He didn't realize all the complexities involved. He was unconsciously incompetent. But as he drove more and he learned more about what he needed to know, he made some mistakes and he kept practicing. Now he is consciously competent. He knows what he needs to, right? The traffic laws, the signal cues, the mirror placements, the passing rules, etc. But he still has to pay attention. Right? Once we do this stage long enough, it becomes a habit, like brushing your teeth or tying your shoe. Once it becomes a habit, we say that we are now in the fourth stage of consciousness. This is unconscious competence. This is what I call mastery. We've had so much practice with this skill that it has become second nature and it can be formed easily, right? As a result, the skill can be performed while sometimes executing another task, right? Most of us are in this stage while driving, although maybe we could all pay just a little bit of attention, right? And we do for the most part, right? Any skill or goal we are trying to accomplish requires going through these three stages. Do you see it? Do you see how that's all progress? Just because you haven't gotten the results yet doesn't mean you won't. If you haven't gotten the results yet, it's because you are mostly likely hanging out in stage one or two or three. At the end of the day, the relevant measure is only you against you, you versus your past self, right? Don't diminish it down to stage four. These stages are all progress, right? Get awareness of yourself, right? It's all progress, right? Thanks for being with me today, you guys. Remember, you finish strong when you realize that the challenges and struggles in finishing strong are just part of the human narrative, part of your learning journey. Decide that you won't let it discourage you, that you're capable, that you will finish it, you'll figure it out and finish strong, right? Everything changes from that decision. I look forward to seeing you every other Friday right here, 11 a.m. Central. We're going to talk about purpose on the next show. It's probably one of the most asked questions I get. Leah, what should I do with my life? I got you. 2 weeks. See you soon. Until then, inspire, impact, and influence your life by finishing strong and meeting your needs. See you then. Bye.
You have been listening to the Becoming You Show with me, your host, Leah Rowling, where I share big ideas to inspire, impact, and influence your life. Tune in every other Friday at 11 Central on TransformationTalkRadio.com for your morning cup of coffee, the hug you never want to end, and that inspirational message that you felt was written just for you. Each show is inspiring you to become you with purpose and intention. For more information or to connect with me, visit www.leahrowling.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.